Have I not asked you,
Jesus,
being a body from the very beginning, to bring forth that in the earth which I've laid my hand on you to bring forth, saith the Spirit of grace. I caution you again and encourage you again and solicit from you again as my dear children to bring me gold tried by fire, saith the Spirit of grace. And I do not speak specifically of the trying of fire by testings and trials of which your faith will often be. But I'm asking you to come and complete the purging process, saith the Spirit of grace. Do not trade your gold for brass. Do not trade your gold for brass. For have I not asked you? Have I not selected you? Have not I cautioned you that I have not selected you above others, that you would go in a way of pride or arrogance? But yet I have given you a calling that no one can achieve in the earth except through prayer and except through fasting, saith the Spirit of grace, except through going into my word, into things of depth and promise. Have I not given you a mandate from the very beginning, saith the Spirit of grace? And I've gathered your hearts and souls here as one to bring forth that mandate of prayer, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Go into me like you never have. Determine in this year to come that you'll make this a place of prayer inside of you like you've never known. Many will grab you by the shoulder and by the arm and say, come do this with me. The natural tendency will be to show your love to them and to show your allegiance to me, saith the Lord, that you'd involve yourself in this and that and the other. But I say unto you as a church, and I say unto you as elders, and I say unto you believers, that what I've laid my hand on you for as kings and priests is to go into the prayer closet. Many will reason, and your natural mind will reason, and Satan will come and say, but I've called you to the streets, and I've called you to feed the poor, and I've called you to do all these things. And yes, in me, I will bring those things to pass. But it will not be through an operation of the flesh like most of the church knows. But I will bring forth in you an exact replica of my firstborn, the one who walked in front of you. Yes, he fed the poor, and yes, he brought forth ministry everywhere he went. It was because he knew me in a private place. It was because he continued to purge himself continually and walk in a place of commitment to me, saith the Spirit of grace. I'm asking you to narrow your vision like never before. I'm asking you to zero in like never before. I'm calling you, saith the Spirit of grace, to become laser focused like never before. Busyness is not a sign. An over busyness is not a sign unto you or a confirmation to you that great works are being done. And yet there will be times where you will be very busy doing my work, saith the Lord. Listen and hearken. I have very few that are willing to do this. I have very few that are willing to hide themselves in the secret place and go into my word and go into my spirit and to deny their flesh. The flesh will give you many opportunities to minister in my name. And yet I'll work a work there as much as I can. But I have a very select few that will hide themselves and bring forth the anointing that causes a citywide and a statewide revival saith the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm asking you, kings and priests, I'm asking you to come away with me to a place that I've solicited from you for many, many years. And I am pleased with you, saith the Spirit of grace. I am not disheartened with you, but I am pleased with your efforts so far. But I'm asking you not to quench the Spirit. For in not listening to these very words and reasoning them out in your own mind and saying that is a man speaking. That's a man speaking. But I hear from God. Listen to these things. Judge these things, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Judge them by the word. Understand this, that I've called you aside. I've called you to be a peculiar people unto me, saith the Lord. I've called you to walk in the Spirit and deny the flesh. And yet, when you pray, you'll move mountains, saith the Lord. The earth has not seen people like you in many generations. I'm asking you to come away with me, my beloved. I'm asking you to come away with me, my beloved. Know me in intimacy and know me in my word like you've never known before. Let your world that you live in become a place of peace and quietness. I promise you by my word and by my spirit that none of you, including the one speaking now, have come into the place of peace and quiet like I have for you. There is a stillness that will direct your day. There is a stillness that will direct your life. There is a stillness that cannot hear the offense. Deafened ears cannot hear. And yet you will move out of a place of authority in my spirit, continually moving mountains and moving things in your life. And yet ears are still dull of hearing for many of you presently, and many of that will hear will think of other things and only hear this partially. But when you come to another place, you can hear it in more depth, and more depth will bring you to a greater depth, saith the Spirit of the Lord. I say unto you that your entire life is to be consumed in me, saith the Lord. Give unto me what brass and what silver cannot. I desire the fruit of the earth. I desire a great harvest, saith the Spirit of the Lord. I desire that all of you walk in all the gifts of the Spirit. All the gifts of the Spirit flowing through you. I desire that Joel's army, the army of the last day, would flow together. No weak and no sickly among you is my desire. For I've chosen you as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people unto me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I think last Sunday night at Calling in the Lost, I did a teaching on this prophecy called Complete the Purging Process. I recommend it to you. I took it apart like a study and made basically a study guide out of it, trying to isolate the instructions that are in there. Okay? I have not had time, and I may not do the rest of these. We've got three or four more to listen to. But let me just, there's no such thing as change without change. Just take one. Old timers, when he says, pray like you have never prayed before. Now for each of you, that means something. See, I know what that means to Gary Carpenter. That's a lot of prayer. If I go back to those early days, if he's really telling Gary, pray like you've never prayed before, I'm going to have to squeeze out somehow a lot of time and my life is going to change. That's what I'm talking about. Some of you, not looking at anybody, have never yet. Okay, another one, he says, go into my word like you've never done before. Some of you, not looking at anybody, have never yet taken Dave seriously about assimilating the New Testament 30 times. If you don't make a plan to do that, We'll be sitting here 10 years from now, and you still will not have assimilated it 30 times. So on Sunday night's message, I gave some calculations. If you want to get it done, working at it pretty steady, it's going to take you about 2 years. Okay? Those instructions are on Sunday night's message. The only reason I'm bringing this forward, if we don't do something to change, that's the difference between hearing and having ears to hear. Are you hearing what he's saying? If you are, you're going to have to make some changes. I went back to, if you don't make a fasting schedule, I doubt your fasting life will change. If you don't make a prayer schedule, see, you go, I'm going to pray more. Good, when? If you can't tell me, you probably can't tell you. In other words, you're just talking. In Texas or Oklahoma, we say you're all hat and no cattle. Got a big 10-gallon hat and got no cattle to back it up. I can tell you when I'm going. I know I'm going to be here Wednesday night. Wednesday night here lately has been prayer. There's an hour and a half. Friday from noon till 7 right now. Saturday morning from 7 in the morning till noon. And he's really caught. You'll see later in these other prophecies, he mentions corporate prayer too. It's not private prayer is wonderful, but he's also calling us to corporate prayer. There, you do know in revivals in history, the people got together and prayed. Sorry, I'm doing my shocked face. What? Yeah, the people got together and prayed. So anyway, I recommend Sunday night's message, complete the purging process. And if you haven't heard these messages from the beginning, I would start with Face the Wall of Fire. Okay? Because even Jesus himself, it's one thing to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's another thing to walk in the power of the Spirit. Jesus had to be tested by the devil in the wilderness. Put that in prayer center terms, the devil was looking for any handle he could find. And if he would have found one, he would have turned Jesus with it. We have to complete the purging process or he's going to find your handle. Look at all the disgraces in the past. He's going to find your handle. And if it doesn't bring disgrace, he'll just turn you out of prayer. Or he'll turn you out of this mission. Or something's wrong at this church. I got to go down to the other church. You know. Okay, enough on that one. Now, I think to everybody's surprise, including Bronx, the very next service that he did, there were two prophecies that came forward in that one. I think we'll do both of these back to back. The first one is called You Who Have Ears to Hear, and the second one is called Endure in the Fight. All right.
He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say, saith the Lord. For many will be dull in their hearing, not having ears to hear, because of the layers of flesh that still surround and abate and hold back the strength of the Spirit. But I say unto you that those who have ears to hear, that I've given you a spirit inside of you. And I'm not speaking particularly of the Holy Spirit at this time. But I've given you a spirit to conquer your world and to conquer your flesh from the very beginning, to stand without argument, head and shoulders above the domination of the flesh, to cast these things out and not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, saith the Spirit of grace. This was the first measure, but this is not where I left you. I did not leave you to live the rest of your existence with your joy only in your ability to conquer sin. I have a much greater calling beyond that for you. For once you understand that you could conquer that person and live above in righteousness, I've asked you to come apart and conquer the world around you. And for this, you will need that Spirit. Comes by power to you through strength and through fire and through purging, saith the Spirit of grace. My spirit comes to burn up the last of anything left beyond the entrance into my kingdom. My spirit comes, my Holy Ghost comes to offer to each one of you the free will of choice of the whipping post, where I, as a father, through my spirit, will scourge away the remaining of anything left that has any effect upon you following me in the fullness of what I've asked you to do. Do not be mistaken. Do not let arguments arise in your heart and mind to delude the message of what I speak to you. I gave you the power at the very entrance into salvation to conquer those things that destroy the image, which you call killer or deal breaker sins. That was done from the very moment of conception. But I'm asking those of you that will hear my voice and purge yourself through prayer and fasting and giving of thanks to come away with me into another level. Why would you rejoice all your life as to make it the only and the center part of your life that you're able to conquer your flesh? That to me was the beginning. I'm asking you to go forth and to conquer a world around you and to conquer your city through fastings and prayers and to bring forth and to destroy the last part of anything in you that is complacent towards these things, that is indifferent towards these things. For whosoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says, saith the Spirit of grace. Many, many will think often, but you lean heavily upon us, Lord. You lean heavily upon us from the pulpit, and you lean heavily upon us from instruction. But has not my word said that as many as I love, that I will chasten? And as many as will prune themselves and go through the fire, that I will likewise prune them again and again and again. Do not be ignorant of this understanding that there are not many in the earth at this present time that have turned aside to offer their bodies a living sacrifice. When I say not many, I'm not talking about that there is just a few in number. I'm talking about as in the proportionate of the church, and especially the church in modern America. There are not many in proportion to that church that have turned aside to seek my face and cry out and abandon their flesh and abandon their world and abandon their aspirations and abandon the self-exalted and self-expressed life. I cannot make you do this. I will not make you do this. And this does not negate your coming to me at the end of your life in salvation and receiving whatever reward is available. But whoever will lay down their life will reap a great harvest in this life. For I will lay my hand upon you, and your exaltation will be to do the works that my first begotten did. It will become natural. It will become a flow to you and through you, saith the Spirit of grace. You will not have time for arguments. Doctrine will be of the utmost importance, but debates, speculations, theories, and all kinds of endless chatter will not be of any necessity. You will not have the time. You will walk past it to heal another and to raise another. become deafened to the rhetoric of the church. Become deafened to the rhetoric of even some of your family members. For many who know me, as in sonship, do not know me in intimacy. My words are afar off to them, though I have a place in their heart as in salvation. Yet I cannot turn them to the right hand or to the left. I cannot turn them as I will, saith the Spirit of grace. But those of you who have ears to hear, continue in a straightforward motion. Listen always. Obey always. Be quick to repent. For I do not have many in proportion. But the ones that I have will bring about this outpouring, saith the Spirit of grace. For many of your hearts are turned aside, fighting the battle, some on many fronts, financially, physically, emotionally. For the drain and the fight of the battle has been part of your distraction. But I say to you, lift yourself up. Shake yourself. And let me stir you. Let me stir you beyond the place that you walk at today. Let this be a place where I infuse my strength into your hearts. That it goes beyond a determination of the mind, but a strength infused by my Spirit to cause you to begin to continue day and night to pray the mysteries, to walk in my Spirit and to pray in my Spirit. Leave the parking lot today praying in the Spirit. Fellowship at times all through the day with me and others, intermittent praying. Find yourself praying in the Spirit, because in it my desire is to lift you up. I desire to take you past the burdens and the fight. I've asked you to endure in the fight. I've asked you to endure in the fight, but I've not asked you to endure the things that have come that bring the fight. I've not asked you to endure sickness, depression, poverty, as to let them rule over you or lord over you. But I've asked you to endure a fight against them, a good fight. But let me take the weight of this fight, saith the Spirit of grace. While you are worshiping me and giving yourself over to tongues and to my word, know this, that I'm building you up on your most holy faith. I'm preparing inside of you a continual answer against those things that have come to lead you astray with such a force against your emotions that it's hard to stand. Let me shore you up. Let me be a father to you. Let me once again get over to you how much I love you as my sons and as my daughters. In my strength, in my affirmation of my love to you, there is a great strength, saith the Spirit of grace. Give yourself over to this place. The more you do it, the more you'll come up. The more you'll stand. When you forget for a day or a season, go right back in. I will continue to be there to remind you. You're not lost. You're mine. I know where you're at.
Hallelujah. There is such treasure here. If you will take this seriously and study, you don't need me to break it down. You need to read this listen for His voice, and write down instructions how you're going to obey every sentence. Okay? Now, earlier we had Briley Mae and my granddaughter Ashley come up. And is Ashley supposed to abandon Briley Mae and just leave her crying to go pray? Absolutely not. Is a husband and a father supposed to quit his job and neglect providing for his family? That is not. Hopefully, we're past those kind of babyhood things. But the truth of it is, you can pray in tongues while you're breastfeeding your baby. You can pray in tongues. He mentioned here, pray while you're leaving the parking lot. He's talking about windshield prayer. And in other words, pray. You can get in a lot of prayer. But there's also things that you can, okay, in Gary's life, I'm not going to tell you too much, but I forgot that Saturday was football day. I've been praying enough. Well, I got a little applause there. Yeah. Sue can tell you how it used to be. You know, and dinner was a day when it was even pro ball on Sunday. Now, I quit them when they quit the flag. But anyway. But she knows how it used to be. And I forgot that it was even football day. I'm down here praying, making intercession. Glory, and writing lessons. And I'm more interested in that. And we've only been at it a few weeks. Dear Lord. Now, just a couple of little things to pull out of there. On the one that says, you who have ears to hear, I especially notice, continue in a straightforward motion. There's the train. Don't get diverted. Continue. A train goes in a straightforward motion, all the cars following the same vision. Can I say that? I loved how that's worded there. And he mentioned earlier, a few paragraphs, talking about this anointing to do the works that my first begotten did. He said it this way, it will become natural and become a flow in you. Friday and Saturday, I wrote 10 pages about the flow. Okay? Just him doing it. There's good things to come. Endure in the fight. Did you notice that one? He says at the very beginning of it, for many of your hearts are turned aside, fighting the battle. Some on many fronts. And when he say turns aside, means you've been diverted off of going in the straight line because you're fighting this side fight. And he mentioned a few of them, some financially, some physically, some emotionally. For the drain and the fight of the battle has been part of your distraction. Distraction. I have never seen in my walk as a Christian so many people being attacked with a spirit of infirmity. One good way you can know if it's a spirit of infirmity is if you go to the doctors and they can't find anything wrong. But the pain is still there or the symptom is still there. If that keeps happening, especially if there's more than one thing going on at once, nearly always that is a spirit of infirmity. You have authority over that thing. Begin talking to it, getting it out of your house and out of your body. Because it's a diversion. He doesn't care how he stops you. Just as long as he stops you. How would he stop me? Quit praying. Don't go more fully into prayer and fasting. One other thing on one of these, let me find it. I circled it as we went through there. He talked about the whipping post. Some of you may not have heard the face-to-face documents. He's referring to a statement he made there, where Jesus himself was at the whipping post when they flogged him. And the teaching there is about fasting. So that's what he's talking about, is fasting. Okay? And sometimes my body sure thinks it's a whipping post. And then on this, he says in another place, if you'll lay down their life, if you will do this, you will reap a great harvest. And that is what this is about. It's really about the harvest, the signs and the wonders that many people will have to see, or they're never going to take you seriously and they're not going to take Jesus seriously. I'm thinking especially of the Muslim world. I have debated those guys in the prisons. They love their Quran like you love the Bible. They know their Quran probably better than you know the Bible. You can debate with them all day long, and at the end of the day, you're both more entrenched than you were when you started. But you take that same guy who's got a blind daughter. You lay your hands on that daughter in the name of Jesus, and those eyes open, he will want to know about your Jesus. Now that is what we're talking about. Okay? That's what we're talking about. And he says in here, that will never happen, cannot happen without fasting and prayer. He said it himself. This last one is intimacy, and I'm going to make a confession right before we start it. And this probably will be the end of the service, I think. It's a fairly long one. Let's talk about intimacy for just a moment. Because you can love God, I'm telling you, you can love God, be serving God, be busy with God, and everyone think you're just doing a great, nice job. And that was going on with me, I'm not going to tell you how long ago, it was at least more than a year. It's been a little while back. I'd like to tell you a long time back, but it wasn't. And I was going through a season where, man, the revelation knowledge was still flowing. I was getting these teachings. It was good. I knew it was good. And I'm teaching it, and people were getting helped and blessed. But at the same time, man, I just felt kind of empty. I was, you know, and it's not that I wasn't praying. I was. But compared to how it used to be, you know, I'd get up maybe 2 hours in the morning, and I don't want to intimidate anybody, but for Gary, that's not a whole lot. I mean, that's just not how it used to be, okay? So I was receiving the teachings, but very little presence, very little him just talking with me, like in the cool of the day, you allow me? And so I asked him, I said, what's going on? You're still giving me the teachings, but very little of yourself, presence. And I hate to say this, but I want to tell you because I love you enough. And I want change. He said to me, well, I'm giving you what you are interested in. You have proven to me that you are not interested in intimacy. Dagger through the heart. And I'd like to tell you I completely 100% changed, but even that wasn't enough to 100%. But he's still getting us there. But it did change. It changed a lot. And that presence is a lot better. But it is nothing compared to what it's going to be. And it's going to go from the pulpit to the pew. I'm telling you, you are Joel's army. One of those prophecies, he said, I want to work all of the gifts of the Spirit through each and every one of you. Get ready. With power comes persecution. Get ready. All right. We'll do the last one. And I may say something at the end like you're dismissed. We'll see.
For many of you are hearing the cry of heaven, saith the Spirit of grace. For I'm saying unto you in your spirit, that compass that is beyond all reason, it's beyond the mind, it's deeper than intellectual thought. The cry of heaven is for you to come away. Come away with me, saith the Spirit of grace. To you that are hearing this cry, to you it feels like there's a desire inside of you. You'd just be satisfied to go and sit somewhere and exhaust yourself in prayer, praying the mysteries until nothing was left, hour after hour, moment after moment. This is the cry that I'm giving to the church that has ears to hear. Come away with me, my beloved. Come away with me. For I must woo you into a place of intimacy to have you as the forerunners to this great outpouring. Will you do it? Will you come away? Will you find that private place and that corporate place to seek me and to sit? And come away. Will you push back the hours and find room for me and sacrifice time? Will you find the way through my wisdom to steal moments and time to pray and intercede For I'm laying on my church, male and female, young and old, a desire to pray, a desire to intercede. Even those who do not consider themselves as intercessors, I'm laying upon you the burden of intercession. For did I not say that my yoke is easy and my burden is light? There's a refreshing in this burden. All who take it on, all who receive it and embrace it, find life, saith the Spirit of the Lord. There is a death to the flesh, but a life to the Spirit. The trade-off is beyond measure, saith the Spirit of grace. The trade-off is beyond measure. Seek me. Find opportunity. Find excuses to steal away and sit with me and pray. So much depends on you. You've not even yet realized how much depends on you. You've not yet realized how jealous I am over you. I'm very jealous. Very jealous in a godly manner over you, saith the Spirit of the Lord. For I birthed you for this reason, and therefore, like a mother that would protect her children, like a father that would watch over and keep back that which would come in to molest and to destroy, my spirit watches over this place and all other places where this cry is going out and where ears, spiritual ears, are being able to hear these things, saith the Lord. I'm very gentle with those. I put on your right hand and on your left bumper rails to cause you to be able to know yes to this and no to that, because all things, though they are lawful, they are not expedient. Though many things might be permissible, they're not expedient to you that are hearing this cry from heaven. Come away, come away, come away with me, my sons and daughters. Long after, lust after, with a godly lust, with a desire that exceeds all desires in this earth, to know me in intimacy. There's a reward for you. Not just in heavenly places and times to come, but there is a reward present tense, saith the Spirit of grace. When I wrap my arms around you and use you in intercession to change many things in the days ahead, when you watch these things, I'll witness to you on the inside. Your prayers did these things. Your prayers opened up an avenue for this one to be healed and that one to be delivered and many things to be set. And the progress of this outpouring, you'll rejoice. You'll be exceedingly glad when others can't understand your joy. You'll be like a mother that gave birth. Both male and female, you'll understand the joy of giving birth. I've called you. I saw you before you were born, having a timelessness in myself. And I desired many, many to go this route. But by your own election, you've chosen. So I come to you with a jealousy. I come to you with a desire, and I'm placing that desire stronger and stronger inside of you. Pecaroso. Mega lo crocete. Incredible gladness is in front of you in the days ahead, saith the Spirit of grace. You'll be glad for every moment that you fought back the temptation to quit. You'll be glad for every moment that you walked past an offense that could have diverted you from the right hand to the left. You'll watch the children come in, the little ones that'll be healed. You'll watch people from all walks of life come in and be healed. Yes. The children coming out of the groves, coming out of the pastures, coming out of places of obscurity. You'll watch them be healed. And you trade another 10 lives for more of the opportunity to give yourself over to this divine inner. Intercession, saith the Spirit of grace. Intimacy is the hour that you live in. I call you apart. I desire you as a jealous husband with a godly desire for that which he has received, that which has been given to him. My Father has given me my espoused bride, and I'm very jealous over you. I hold you with the greatest regards. I nurture you wherever I can, and I fill you wherever I can when you give me this. Come away with me. Come away with me, my bride.
Clear enough? Let me repeat back three sentences out of that prophecy. Come away with me, my beloved, for I must woo you into a place of intimacy to have you as the forerunners of this great outpouring. Will you do it? Will you come away? Will you find that private place and that corporate place to seek me and to sit? And to come away. Will you do it? I'm thinking of the Ephesus church at Ephesus. After the Lord gave them instruction, return unto your first love and do the first works. After he spoke that through John, after they heard that, would it have been okay to say, we're going to increase our feeding program to the poor? We're going to increase our evangelism in the streets. We're going to enlarge our Bible college. Would anything else be okay except what the Lord had said? I think the Lord is saying to us, clear and plain, come away with him. He's saying, come away with me. Private prayer, corporate prayer, fasting, worship in my word. Come away with me. I say we'll do it. I say we will do it.